Forward. In a remarkable sermon preached at Pentecost, 1861, in the London Oratory, Father Faber spoke as follows, quote, "We must remember that if all the manifestly good men were on one side and all the manifestly bad men on the other, there would be no danger of anyone, least of all the elect, being deceived by lying wonders. It is the good men, good once, we must hope good still, who are to do the work of Antichrist, and so sadly to crucify the Lord afresh. Bear in mind this feature of the last days, that this deceitfulness arises from good men being on the wrong side." End of quote. At all periods in the world's history, good men have been maneuvered into wrong camps, but the machinery for deceiving people, or at least for preventing them from getting an accurate view of the real struggle going on in the world, has never, it would seem, reached the perfection of the present day. Nowadays, the vast majority of human beings in all countries are at the mercy of the newspapers for information about the world, and the newspapers mislead them atrociously. Journalism, writes G.K. Chesterton, is a false picture of the world thrown upon a lighted screen in a darkened room, so that the real world is not seen and the unreal world is seen. We live under secret government conducted by a secret process called publicity. For the newspapers are more and more at the beck and call of the financial forces which control the machinery of publicity. Can anyone read the following extract from that pathetic work, Rebuilding a Lost Faith, by an American agnostic, without being filled with horror at the state of affairs depicted therein? Quote, "A considerable portion of the press is now in ominous danger to public morals, since it has shown itself to be both vile and venal, and willing to deceive and brutalize mankind. The depths to which its employees are frequently reduced is seen in the judgment passed upon the calling of the American journalist by a New York editor, John Swinton, during an annual dinner of the New York Press Association. It certainly is a frank confession. Quote, "There is no such thing as an independent press in America, if we expect that of little country towns. You know this, and I know it. Not a man among you dares to utter his honest opinion. Were you to utter it, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. I am paid $150 a week so that I may keep my honest opinion out of the paper for which I write. You, too, are paid similar salaries for similar services. Were I to permit that a single edition of my newspaper contained an honest opinion, my occupation, like Othello's, would be gone in less than 24 hours. The man who would be so foolish as to write his honest opinion would soon be on the streets in search for another job. It is the duty of a New York journalist to lie, to distort, to revile, to toady at the feet of Mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread, or what amounts to the same thing, his salary. We are marionettes. These men pull the strings and we dance. Our time, our talents, our lives, our capacities are all the property of these men. We are intellectual prostitutes." Philip Francis, for years an editorial writer of great influence in America, and who had for 40 years an intimate connection with journalism, writes, "With a few honorable exceptions, the big papers and magazines of the United States are the most ignorant and gullible, as well as the most cowardly and controlled press printed in any country in the world. The majority of the owners are mere financiers who look upon their magazines and newspapers simply as money-making mills, and who, whenever it is a question between more coin and good, honest, patriotic public service, will take the coin every time.